Scott Newland opens the door to Yakutat's new power plant. It's not so bad outside the sound-absorbing walls, and that's good news for Newland, who's headed up Yakutat's power system for 15 years.
That new plant just changed the whole atmosphere, especially where I'm living right next door to it.
Its generators run more efficiently, and Newland's proud of that. But power costs in Yakutat remain high.
Since I've been involved here, that's always been a goal, is to find a different source of energy other than diesel fuel.
These days, he's thinking about a power source with a different sound.
Wave energy is probably the most exciting thing we have going.
Yakutat's geography doesn't work for hydro. Weather limits what you can get out of solar and wind. Wood-fueled biomass got serious consideration, but with only 450 electrical customers, it doesn't have the efficiencies of scale. That's why the town is looking toward the ocean. A number of emerging technologies are available. Some use anchored buoys, others long lines of floats. Yakutat's trying out a smaller device called the Surge Wave Converter, made by Boston-based Resolute Marine Energy. It's sort of like a paddle hinged to a base on the ocean floor. Here's how Newland describes it.
It reminds me of a kelp frond in the water as waves go by, and it sways back and forth like that. It's that slow and that mild.
The back and forth movement powers a pump, which pushes water through pipes to the shore. That pressure is the carbon-free energy that runs an electrical generator. Resolute Marine has tested the Surge at a North Carolina research facility. Yakutat planner Bill Lucy says it's time to try it out in the Gulf of Alaska.
We know it makes electricity. It survived an East Coast storm. So now what we need to know is how much is it going to cost to anchor them to the bottom so they don't bounce around in a West Coast storm.
Yakutat hoped to put a test unit in the water this year. If it worked, it would have added about a dozen more later on. But permitting and other delays pushed that back to 2015. So the job now for Lucy and others is to research possible impacts to the community and the environment.
Since we're not going to be generating electricity underwater, there probably won't be an issue with the fish. Usually what can happen is your sharks and your rays can become attracted to underwater cables. But this project will simply pump pressurized seawater to a shore-based plant, and the electricity will be generated on land.
He says seabirds aren't expected to be an issue since the system's underwater. Acoustic tests will look for impacts on whales and seals. Commercial fisheries are being taken into account, and then there's the surfers, attracted by the same ocean power that makes this project a possibility.
There's a lot of beach break all along that area, and if we put 14 of these panels out, it's not going to take out all the wave areas for surfing, and it might not even be an issue where they are.
Funding and technical help for this testing phase is coming from the federal, state, and local governments. Early estimates put the final cost at about $3 million, but it could be much higher. Borough manager Skip Ryman hopes it'll pencil out, but he's trying to be realistic.
The big question is, of course, is wave energy feasible? Is it going to be something that will actually aid the consumer? If wave energy proves to be more expensive than diesel, then certainly this is something that probably throw it under the bus for us.
It'll take a couple years till that's known. Back at the power plant, Newland remains optimistic.
This might be huge. That's what I'm hoping, you know. If we can harness some of the kinetic energy out of the ocean, it could change the face of power generation for the world.
Or at least for some other coastal Alaska communities. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Yakutat.